In 2016, some of you may know about a writer, a preacher, a life coach, a speaker. His name is Tim Butler. I find his introduction on this message of Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30, very inspiring. And he got this, he wrote this. One of the topics that is near and dear to my heart is the notion of being faithful, more than being overwhelmed by success. Part of my passion on this topic is driven by what I feel God has revealed to me over the years through many Bible verses that speak to that end. The other reason, and I find this very interesting, I am passionate about it is the increased focus on culturalize, and this is talking about the whole world, about us, that have been growing in our society over the last few decades. So what are these lies? These lies. I've heard this statement quite often when I was young. If you work hard enough, you can be anything you want to be. True. We have lots of opportunities in this free world, but we all have personal limitation. Therefore, we all cannot be president just because we want to. That's one lie. You can be the best in the world. Again, to be of your best is very, very different from being the best. I can create a little flower, a part of my hobby as a florist. It cannot be the very best, but it is my best. Everyone is a winner. Clearly, all people are not winners when competing. Some lose. All Black lost to South Africa, and the media is still talking about it. Last night, I said to my husband, "Did you know that recently there's a try in the last World Cup that meant to be awarded to All Black, but it was disqualified? That makes South Africa a winner." Just to make my husband happy, but unfortunately, it's only one winner. In addition to not being true, all these sentiments focus on success, not the value of being faithful and success to glorify God. And not being faithful and success to glorify God. But in Christian circles, Christian, sometimes success can be easily become an idol. If you know a writer, well-known writer, Tim Keller, in his book, Counterfeit God says this statement. More than other idols, personal success and achievement lead to a sense that we ourselves are God. That our security and our value rest in our own wisdom, strength, and performance. To be the very best at what you do, to be at the top of the heap, means no one is like you. You are supreme. But this is all about the success without being faithful to God. For your own good and not being faithful. But the context of this morning, it raises a lot of questions and make us think twice as Christian. Why is it important to be faithfully successful? Why is it important to be waiting, engaging, participating, involving, focusing, committing, and understanding the road and the pathway to the kingdom of God? Why is it important? Maybe a simple answer, that this whole world, you and me, all living things, belongs to God. Everything, including you and me. But the difference is, human beings are created in God's image. And this is the difference between us and non-living things. We are blessed to have a life, and we are blessed to have a living soul that belong to God. For what is profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Is this the parable is all about this morning? One in particular. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The value of our soul is incomparable in this world. Given we are created in the image of God, not only it is unique amongst all creation, it is internal. It is eternal. It is eternal. So we must ask ourselves, what are we doing with our soul? What are we doing with the talent, the resources, the gift that we have been given? Are they being utilized effectively? Are they being exploited for the glory of God? Does the Lord receive honor from our own actions? Why? Sometimes we just focus on success, but not on faithful success to glorify God. But we have to remember one thing. We are not created with equal skills. We are not created with equal abilities and opportunities. And this is what the text in Matthew says. And we are trying to unpack this morning. Each man given talents according to his ability. The master understood that one talent seven was not capable of producing as much as the five talent. Initially, we think that this may be unfair. Doesn't seem fair. But we think this morning when we try to unpack the parable of this morning, it takes us to a new world of understanding. It reminded us something that some of us were thinking about this much to live. And yet, we look at our life, what we have been doing to glorify God. And through the parable this morning, Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey. And before he goes, and before he went, he gives three workers, three men, different amount of money. So the talent this morning is not actually talking about the gift, a gifted. It's talking about 7 years of being a laborer, a lot of money, a lot of responsibility for five for one man, two for the others, and one for the other one. Giving them three different amount of talent, that doesn't mean that God does not love one greater than the other one. It's because, as I said before, we are not created with equal skills, abilities, and opportunities. Well, get back to the story. Upon his return, he asks, what they did with the money that I gave you. We all know about it. The first and the second invested their talent and double their money and receive the master's praise. Last week, Sunday, those of you who joined us with Brandon talked about the aspect of waiting of the five bridesmaids through faith, acting and participating. Five. This morning, we're talking about three men giving different talent. And then the master went away. At that period of time, the text did not explain what they did with the money. And that is the most important thing that behind it. What we do when we don't physically see that the Lord come back. What did we do? What did we do with the talent that God blessed us with? It is the kingdom of heaven that we are talking about. So we'll take a look at what we unpacked about what these two men did with their money. Success goes together with being faithful to God. It can only occur when we do something about it. when we take action, it is the product of our work. Take action. Adam and Eve were put in the garden to work. They're here for you to work and take care of it. They did. Paul told the church of in particular text of how Paul believed in God in the people of Thessalonica. If someone did not work, they should not eat. In Proverbs 12, they tell us that those who work their land will have abundant food. But for those who chase fantasies, have no sense. A farmer has to work the land to get crops, but he cannot guarantee the outcome of that planting. But without working the land, he will definitely not reap a harvest. The man receiving only one talent did not work. As a result, he earned nothing in return. But out of the fear, he kept his talent buried. And the text says, and thus guaranteed it would not be lost, or put it the other way, he would not fail. It is also important for us to know that it is our job. Our job to be faithful with all that God has given us, which means we need to consider again that we belong to God, and we take these opportunities that we have to work hard, to work hard with our faith within our soul that we are created by God. Again, I reminded you that we are to work using our talent to glorify God, to say common good, and to further the kingdom of God. It was not uncommon for those days. It was not uncommon for master to entrust the possession of the servants in their absence. And we know about the money that given to the seven, it's not their own money. The money that they earned with the capital is not for them to keep. So if we are followers of Christ, we are the servants. We are the stewards of Christ. Therefore, everything that we have, that we work hard for, belong to God. First Corinthians, Paul mentioned these words. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price of his life. So Christ has a claim to everything which belongs to us, everything which may turn to good. We are told to glorify God as we use our bodies in our work. Our end is not self-satisfaction, but God-satisfaction. And the key for this morning parable is our faith. Always faithful I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, the master in the parable expected his servant to do more. Then passively preserve what had been entrusted to them. God expects us to generate a return by using our skills, our abilities toward a productive end. And that's very interesting. We know about the five talent. Had everything and produced five more. Two had everything and produced two more. One talent had everything but afraid. And he was told, "You're lazy. Even what you got, it will be taken away." What we learn from this is that fear sometimes, or fear, trumps faith if we let it. Fear trumps faith if we let it. So when you attempt to follow what God has entrusted to you, it's not always easy. And that's why it is so important to stay faithful and let God take care of the success. Never so true as when a new life has been entrusted to you, called a little baby. Even though God gives us everything we need to be the parents He wants us to be, the role of faithful parent will have plenty of pushback and opposition until we become adult, is accomplished. And sometimes, beyond, more, extra. The key is to stay faithful and let God take care of the success. Just like the servants, out of fear, did not invest his talents. Fear trumps mission if we let it. Fear makes cowards of all us, of us all. If we listen to its message more than God's words. Basically, if we listen and we fear, that's not what the kingdom of heaven is talk about. If we listen, if we focus, if we participate, if we believe, work hard, the kingdom of heaven is yours. There's another interesting thing that we all be held accountable. Not, this is not the end of the story. That we happy that God give us a talent and we do it. Yeah. But we all held accountable. And this is exactly what happened to the unfaithful servant. Did not listen. Did not get up, think, involve, participate, and be grateful of what he's already given. But he went and put it away and buried. So, what is the meaning of life to this? What is the meaning of having this ability in your soul and God created U.S. His own image. This is the result. He was judged, wicked and lazy. And I'm sure we have all felt the wasted opportunity from time to time as it related to sharing the gospel of God. We are responsible for what we have been given, and one day we will be held responsible. Genesis chapter 1, 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth with subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Wonderful. To a conclusion, so what do we learn from today's parable? One thing is clear. We are told to make disciples of all nations. We are not here to merely wait for our fire insurance to kick in. No. We are here as servants or steward of God. We are created beings placed into God's created world. We work at the pleasure of our Lord, and our work to be driven by our love of Christ, our Lord. And the most important thing, our only desire should be to hear Him say, when He returns, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the kingdom of heaven." And this is what the parable is all about. Our only desire should be to hear Him say, when He returns, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Master." And this is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. A man who was committed Christian and the most successful college basketball coach in history, the late John Wooden, when asked how he defines success, and this, he said, "Success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you made the effort to become the best of what you are capable. Success is when you lay your head on the pillow at night, knowing you are faithful to do what you were called to do. And certainly, the proper balance is to ensure that we do our best to glorify God, and not to just make ourselves look good. Jesus glorified God on the cross. What is the most incredible, unexplainable in the history of all Christians in the world? It is beyond our imaginations. Someone to save the world. A talent given to him by God, which caused him to pay for our sin. Think back to the parable of the talents to see which seven might be best represent your life. And in our quiet time, inquire for God as to what areas of our life He's calling you to increase our faithfulness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.